for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your needs. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak for things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello, dear friends. Here we are again, dear girls. I know you're busy. You have a lot to do right now. You don't really want to stop and listen to me chatter on. But I'm just finishing up talking about forgiveness. The whole subject came up again in my mind because of the Amish, the terrible deaths in that little schoolhouse of the dear girls, and how the Amish people forgave because they wanted to be forgiven. Now, they didn't say right out like that, but they were using that scripture verse. Remember I told you from the Sermon on the Mount, for if you forgive men their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you or your trespasses. And I explained to you that the Amish people and their dear, precious people, and I enjoy knowing them when I'm in that area and talking with them and watching them, and they have many, many good qualities which we should emulate. But they are amillennial, and we are premillennial. And I explain that all to you in different programs. If you want to get the tape, just call me 1-800-JOHN-10-9 or get this in writing and ask me for it. While I'm giving commercials, I want to tell you about our church, the Bible for the Day Baptist Church. Usually at this season of the year, people like to go to church, even if they haven't been. So come to ours. We're at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, 08108. Our phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we'll give you directions. We're right here on the corner of Park and Dill. My husband is Dr. B.A. Waite. He has two earned doctor's degrees. He knows the Word of God very well. He's an expositor, a verse-by-verse preacher. He also uses and defends the King James Bible. So I'd like you to come and meet us. Now, you know, we were talking about Joseph and how his brothers feared that they would not be forgiven after their father died. They came to them trembling. But, of course, the brothers were forgiven. And down on the ground, face in the dirt, they fell next to their powerful brother in forgiveness. And they used to think he was a busybody, but now they realize he was a powerful man. Sometimes teenagers do go through peculiar times in their lives, and we have to realize that they've moved on, so we have to move on. All was forgiven. The hardships, the lies, the sorrows. And the Bible says, of that period of time in Joseph's life, God meant it unto good. Perhaps you're going through a period of time that you cannot understand what is happening. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, count on it. God meant it unto good. Why? In Joseph's life, to save people alive. Fear not, Joseph reassured his siblings. Fear not, I will nourish you and the little ones. Such comforting words to worried men. Their brother's kindness could not be measured in words to the older brothers, or even in thanksgiving. How are we ever kind and happy and thankful for other people's kindness towards us? In this lesson that I've been learning about forgiveness, it's come to me that sometimes in the home, people are very unkind. They have no forbearance, they are not tender-hearted, and they're certainly not forgiving. In the home, behind closed doors, this is where we should begin the practice of Christian forgiveness. Oh, if you and I could only practice such forgiveness towards those who have spitefully used us. I'm sure right now you could think of someone who has spitefully used you. Forgive that person in your heart. Work on it. You know, there is strength in forgiveness. And forgiveness is a gift that you really give yourself. The Amish in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania practice this forgiveness. What an example for the rest of us. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4:32. Look it up. Ephesians 4:32. Someone has written, treasures in heaven are laid up only as treasures on earth are laid down. Treasurers. treasures. I get the words all mixed up. Let me say it again. Treasures in heaven are laid up only as treasures on earth are laid down. Are you hanging on to some treasure that keeps you from being forgiven? The Bible gives us in Colossians 2:13 and 14 a wonderful statement on the subject of Jesus taking the blame for our sins and in forgiveness. It is, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Remember I told you my husband's teacher when my husband was at Dallas Theological Seminary, and the founder of the school, Dr. Lewis Berry Schaefer, taught them about Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins, that your past, hath he quickened together with him, that your present, having forgiven you all trespasses, that your future. Remember I told you that the other day, and it's a blessing. You know, when we receive Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, yours and mine, you get that? We become a sinner saved by God's grace. We are free from the sin, for it has been forgiven. Jesus took the blame. This is the meaning of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have found, dear girls, that forgiving seems to be a process of God's working in my life, and in yours too, if you let him. We must go on with our days within the border of our lives, dear friends. We must forgive. My mother, Gertrude Sanford, has written a lovely poem, and you can have this book if you just call me. I can tell you how you can get it. God abideth faithful. No friend can bring you constant friendship. No son nor daughter can bring perfect love to thee. No thing can bring thee satisfaction, no place a haven really be. Trust not in child, nor friend, or situation. Trust not in human mind so frail. Place neither love nor adoration in things of earth and clay to no avail. When through times of tears and disappointment things we thought were good have turned to clay, God the Father turns our eyes on Jesus, and he stands there waiting every day. He alone is altogether lovely. Never fails, betrays, nor turns aside. Cannot change, nor even just a shadow. Though we fail, he constant does abide. Hard it is to feel alone, unwanted. Hurt we are to see others take our place. Helpless as we find no help at present. Just now, dear Lord, look up to Jesus' face. Oh, Lord, I pray for the girls who are listening to me. May they look to Jesus. May they learn to forgive. May they trust thee as Savior if they do not know. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to try to read you something about Thanksgiving. I hope I can get it in. It's a rather long article. Thanksgiving is the benediction of the year. It stands at the end of fall and the beginning of winter, near the end of one year and the beginning of another, with one hand raised in gracious farewell and another beckoning in adventure. It is truly an American holiday, a festival for all the citizenry of our nation. When after the ingathering of the first harvest in the New World, Governor Bradford sent four men out to shoot wildfowl, and the infant pilgrim colony might, after a more special manner, rejoice together. He little dreamed to what that pious act would grow. We remember the story of the pilgrims, how the Puritans wanted to purify the established church, how King James said he would make them conform or harry them out of England. How in 1608 a little band from Scrooby in England went to Amsterdam in Holland for religious freedom. How the following year they went to Leyden, L-E-Y-D-E-N, where they were for 10 years. Yet not settled on the 6th of September in 1620, they set out from Plymouth, England, and after a trip taking 10 times as long as the same trip today, cast anchor off the coast of Cape Cod on November 21st. Then on the 20th of December, they chose Plymouth for their place, this hardy band of 102 pilgrims. We have read of the first winter, when nearly half of them perished. Came spring, and the Indians taught them to fertilize corn with the shad and the herring. Their 20 acres of Indian corn did well, their barley fair, but their peas were a failure. Then when the harvest was gathered, Governor Bradford instituted a feast of thanksgiving. The fowlers brought home wild turkey, and there were fish, clams, and oysters. They came, the Indian chieftains with his 90 men. There was feasting for 3 days, and then some of the braves went out into the woods and brought home 5 deer. This was the start of the Thanksgiving tradition in America. Thanksgiving should be a day of hope. Thus it was in the beginning in the Pilgrim colony, and thus it has been across the pulsing years of our nation's history, through peace and plenty, through depression and disaster, through war and rebellion. With the Apostle Paul, we as a nation have been strengthened, as in prayer and thanksgiving and supplication. With thanksgiving, we have let our requests be made known unto God. The author is unknown. Going to read the old-fashioned Thanksgiving by Edward A. Guest. It may be I'm getting old and like too much to dwell upon the days of bygone years, the days I loved so well. But thinking of them now, I wish somehow that I could know a simple old Thanksgiving day like those of long ago, when all the family gathered round the table richly spread, with little Jamie at the foot and Grandpa at the head, the youngest of us all to greet the oldest with a smile, with Mother running in and out and laughing all the while. It may be I'm old-fashioned, but it seems to me today we're too much bent on having fun to take the time to pray. Each little family grows up with fashions of its own, its lives within the world itself, and wants to be alone. It has special pleasures, its circle too of friends. There are no get-together days, each one his journey wins, pursuing what he likes the best in his particular way, letting the others do the same upon their Thanksgiving day. I like the olden way the best, when relatives were glad to meet the way they used to do when I was a little lad. The old house was a rendezvous for all our kin and kin. And whether living far or near, they all came trooping in with shouts, "Hello, Daddy," as they fairly stormed the place, and made a rush for Mother, who would stop to wipe her face upon her gingham apron before she kissed them all, hugging them proudly to her breast, the grown-ups and the small. Then laughter rang throughout the home, and all the jokes they told. From Boston, Frank brought new ones, but Father sprang the old. All afternoon we chatted, telling what we hoped to do, the struggles we were making and the hardships we'd gone through. We gathered round the fireside, how fast the hours would fly. It seemed before we'd settled down, it was time to say goodbye. Those were the glad Thanksgivings the old-time families knew, when relatives could still be friends and every heart was true. My, that poem really speaks to my heart, pricking me somewhat to think that I should really have one of these old-fashioned Thanksgiving days again. How about you? Invite a friend over. There may be somebody very lonely that needs you. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Dress for Women with Yvonne Roach, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collinsworth, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays, 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Farrell. The announcer has been Dr. D.A. Roach, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over the same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.